Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Getaway Friday, November 17th, 2023, 16 minutes past the hour. And we have got a big first hour of programming for you this morning on this last Friday before the big Thanksgiving holiday. Now, coming up at 8:35 this morning, I've been talking about a big announcement that we have been going to make here at this station. I said I didn't know if we were going to make it. Wasn't really sure until last night. Wouldn't be sure until Thursday night. I can say that we are going to make that, and we are going to make that with a special guest this morning at 8:35. So don't miss that. But as many of you know, the Ohio State football season is winding down, the regular season, and boy, has it been an interesting end to this season. Ohio State still undefeated. Two games left in the regular season, of course, one of those with Michigan, which will be played in Ann Arbor next Saturday, right after Thanksgiving. But they do have one last home game, which will take place tomorrow, in which Ohio State plays Minnesota. And this is going to be an interesting game because it is the last home game. It is the game before Michigan. And with all the scandal going on up in Michigan right now, there is news galore to talk about in our first 20 minutes this morning with a man who will be at all of these games and who has joined us several weeks here on the program to discuss what is going on with the Buckeyes and what's going on with Michigan. Many weeks ago, we said, man, what's going to happen with Michigan? Well, a lot has happened since then, and we are almost there. What a pleasure it is this morning to be joined on the eve of the last home game this season for the Ohio State Buckeyes by the man himself, a good friend of this station for 20 years, the legendary superfan himself, Buckeye Guy. Buckeye Guy, how are you?
Scott Spears, so glad to be here. I want to jump right in and tell you thank you and happy holidays to you and your family.
Thank you so much. Back at you. It came up quick on us this year, didn't it? Thanksgiving's just 6 days away.
Just talking to the missus last night going, oh my goodness, we're ordering cakes and pies.
Now, Buckeye Guy, for the sake of Thanksgiving here, what is your favorite type of pie?
I like pecan pie.
Pecan pie, very good. Now, are you a fan of the traditional pumpkin pie?
Pumpkin pie is always a good thing. I prefer the sweet potato pie over the pumpkin.
You know, now that's a very interesting point. And before we get into the game here, a lot of people don't understand the difference. What's the difference between sweet potato pie and pumpkin pie?
Pumpkin pie is very, very good. And sweet potato pie is a little meatier. Let's say if you're blending it, the ingredients, you don't blend it all the way to Peru, the sweet potato pie. It's very good.
Now, are you a turkey or a ham guy?
Both, thank you very much.
you go to both departments.
Absolutely.
Now, cranberry sauce, do you have the cranberry sauce?
It's a must. We had to get some over at the store the other day because it always seems to run out around the holidays.
You know, isn't that the truth? And now, do you go with fresh cranberries or cranberry sauce in the can?
I like cranberry gelled jelly sauce.
So you like it right out of the can?
Right out. Listen, you can open the can, pop it out, and I like to cut me two or three good squares, circles.
It is delicious and 6 days away. Now, stuffing, do you have a preference on stuffing?
No, any kind of stuffing you got is going to be okay with me. Bread stuffing, dressing, whatever, stovetop, it makes no difference.
And, of course, the question that gets asked every Thanksgiving, what are you thankful for this year?
Everything. I'm thankful for even being here this long, like you said, our friendship and relationship has spanned 20 years or more. I'm so glad to be here. I'm glad you're calling. I'm glad I'm able to come into your new abode. That's very thankful. What a heck of a career and heck of a run that we both have had.
And we'll continue on, thank goodness.
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay, Buckeye Guy, we're heading into to the last home game tomorrow, Minnesota. Now, the point spread that I looked at this morning on Fox Sports has the Buckeyes over 50 in this game. But before we get to the actual point spread, what is the significance of the last home game?
Oh, man. You know, it just fell on me like a ton of bricks on yesterday. It's the last home game in the shoe. It's going to be freezing out there on Saturday. But you know what? I'm looking so very forward to it. All the other games that were 70, 80, and 90 degrees this year it's football weather. And most importantly, you have to pay attention to Minnesota.
You absolutely do, and even though the point spread is so large here, why do you have to pay attention to Minnesota?
Here it is. Let's go all the way back to Coach Jim Trussell. He said the most important game of the season is your next game. Most of the guys and most of the media are looking forward to 2 weeks from now up in Ann Arbor with the Wolverines, but we've got a game to play. And you can ask Jim Trussell when Illinois came in here with Orange Juice Jones and beat us. We were the number two team in the country. You can ask Urban Meyer when we were the number one team in the world and went up to Purdue and got beat. So it doesn't make any difference about the point spread. If you're looking past any team, they can bite you.
Now, when it comes to Minnesota, what do you think their mindset is going to be coming in, playing Ohio State, which heretofore this season is undefeated, last home game for Ohio State? Do you think they're going to come in here with a little extra edge tomorrow?
Scott Spears, they're coming in here being a spoiler. They want to upset the apple cart. They want to knock us off the pedestal. I remember being in Minnesota at their new stadium, TC Bank Stadium. It's unbelievable. They've got, and you would love this, they've got fresh fish being served at the concession stand. It's unbelievable. They played us close. They always play us close. Their coach is rowing the boat. Minnesota's program is on the come. I'm telling you, man, you have to go ahead and knock them out the first quarter.
Now, when we look at the performances the last 2 weeks by Ohio State against Michigan State and Rutgers, what does this say about tomorrow's game, having such good performances the last 2 weeks?
Okay, here it is. We had a great performance the first half of last week against Michigan State. It was 35 points that we put up in the first half. Sadly to say, we only put up 3 points in the second half. So it was a fall off in production. We don't need that. We're going to need every point up in Ann Arbor. Every point.
So tomorrow, when we look ahead to tomorrow's game, what is the official Buckeye Guy prediction? You say we've got to knock Minnesota off in the first quarter.
I say 35 to 3, because we don't want to show everything. We want to be safe. We want to get our guys out healthy. And oh, by the way, is CJ Stroud the number one quarterback in the NFL? It's unbelievable how he's playing ball.
It's going to be a big game tomorrow, and with our remaining 10 minutes, we've got to turn to Michigan, not only because it's the following week's game, but boy, has there been all kinds of rattling around going on up there up until about 16 hours ago. So we'll let people know in a tin-type fashion what's going on here. Of course, we play Michigan next week. That will be in Ann Arbor. That is the It's a big game because Ohio State has now lost against Michigan in Michigan. They have lost against Michigan at Ohio State in Columbus last year. So this is the turkey game. If they don't win this year, they will receive the turkey. But we have learned that there is now this sign-stealing scandal, which has led to the penalty, the suspension of Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh, which he said he was going to fight, and he did fight. The lawyers fought it. But as of 16 hours ago, Michigan's Jim Harbaugh accepts Big Ten's three-game suspension. One game he's already went through on that suspension. Now, he's still coaching the team. He's just not doing it from the sideline. So let's get into this in a big way here. The sign-stealing scandal, we know a little more about it now. What do you make of this whole thing?
Listen, man, I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, those guys are raring and ready to go. They feel slighted. They feel underappreciated. And as you mentioned, for the last 2 years in a row, they've been besting our beloved Ohio State football team. Well, apparently, they've had information gathered that's not supposed to be gathered in person. So that was the whole thing right there. You can get tape, film, study, all kind of stuff like that on your opponent, but you cannot gather that information of the signs that they're sending the plays in person.
Now, what do you make of the fact that Harbaugh was fighting the suspension and yesterday he gave it up? Why is he no longer fighting it, in your opinion?
I believe that the Wolverines think that they can win out and go to the college football playoffs. If, in fact, they do, their coach will be available for all the playoff games, which is worth billions of dollars in their coffers. We understand that the Wolverines are the winningest football program in college football history. Reason being, they started sooner than everybody else. But I'll tell you, come next Saturday, it's going to be hell or high water that the Ohio State University needs to turn the tide.
Now, what does that mean if the turkey happens and Michigan wins next Saturday? What are we going to see?
Okay, now this, of course, if we lose that game next Saturday and we beat Minnesota tomorrow, there's still an opportunity that we could be considered one of the four teams to go to the college football playoffs. It doesn't automatically mean that we get ousted from the college football playoffs. So, it's always better if we win. Then we could go. I hadn't been to Indianapolis in quite some time for the Big Ten Championship. I always like to go and get, you know, the great shrimp cocktails and cool stuff like that in Indianapolis. So, it's been quite some time. It's been strange. But we got to get back on the winning way against that school up north.
You know, it's very interesting because when we look at this, as we head into next week, there is a lot of pressure on Ohio State not to lose the third bout with Michigan in a row. But now you would have to say there's pressure on Michigan because their head coach will not be on the sideline. And that's a little worrisome as well, I think.
Oh, man, listen. The name of the restaurant, St. Elmo's, by the way, in Indianapolis, Indiana, it is legendary. If, in fact, you're ever in Indianapolis, go to St. Elmo's and get the shrimp cocktail. Listen, man, we got, okay, let's just pull the covers back. Scott Spears, this is a must-win. It's a must-win on Saturday, the last home game against Minnesota. It's a must-win next Saturday. Up in Ann Arbor, you have to win that game.
Now that being said, what usually happens, and it happened with all the coaches in Ohio State history, it led to the demise of John Cooper, even though a lot of people thought he was a great coach. Would you say that if, in your opinion, as we head into the end of the season, if the team does not pull off these two games, Minnesota and Michigan, because this would be the turkey with Michigan if they lost this,
that
Coach Ryan Day, his job would be in serious danger. Would you think that?
Listen, man, everybody's going to have to be examination going to go through the entire program. Everybody, head to toe, fans included. So it is a, when I say must win, it's a must win. And you know what? Even if they're in our huddle, we still have to win the game. Even if they're on our bus, we still have to win the game. Even if they're in our locker room, we still have to win the game. We're looking for the game winning, you know, on next week. It's imperative that we beat that school from up north on next week.
Now, when is the last time that Michigan got three over on us?
Oh, I can tell you this. Coach Urban Meyer is 7-0 against that school up north. He never lost to them. Not one time. So, to his credit, Coach Day is 1-3, whatever it is, he at least beat him one time. So I'll tell you who's, I mentioned him earlier. C.J. Stroud is totally upset that he never got a chance to beat them, and he does not have gold pants, considering the adversity that he was up against, the stealing of the signs, this, that, and the other. And he ended up being the highest drafted quarterback in the Ohio State University's history. So here recently, it's been tough sledding. Oh, and I want to mention, by the way, 2 years ago when I was up there in 21, they didn't, you know, we had been beating them 16 out of the last 17 years. So their bark wasn't that bad. But now, having lost two games in a row to the school up north, oh, they're waiting on us to come up there, buddy.
It's a good bark. Before we part ways here this morning, Buckeye Guy, I got to ask you, Jim Harbaugh is still saying, well, I didn't know anything about this. I'll take the suspension, but I didn't know anything about this. With the evidence on the table, do you think he knew what was going on with the sign stealing?
There's a possibility that he did not know. We understand that. Stuff goes on around here at my house, you know, that I'm not aware of. But listen, regardless of if he knew or not, I go back to my first thought. It is a must-win for the Ohio State University. It's a must-win for the head coach. It's a must-win for the fan base. And it's a must-win for Buckeye Nation.
Buckeye Guy, have a great time at the last home game tomorrow, and we will talk, I'm sure, before the big Michigan game, because a lot can happen in a week.
Happy holidays, my friend.
Yep, happy Thanksgiving. Thank you.
All right, now, bye-bye.
Happy Thanksgiving to our friend, the Buckeye Guy. And again, his official, now this is the official WGH Talk prediction for the Ohio State game tomorrow, OSU 35, Minnesota 3, and then it's a must win against Michigan coming up on, I guess it's the 25th, the day after Thanksgiving. Because if Ohio State does not win that game, it will be the third loss to Michigan, the turkey. Now, we have got a big announcement coming up here momentarily in regard, you know, I don't even want to say what it's in regard to, because I've been talking about it all week. I said I had a phone conversation on Monday night, and there might be a big announcement coming later in the week, but I didn't want to say anything until I got it finalized as of last night, and last night we did get it finalized. So, we are going to make that announcement momentarily here on the station, And this should be a lot of fun because we've been talking about this, and there are a lot of great things going on in the Marion area, specifically in downtown Marion. If anybody's been in downtown Marion the last few days, they have seen the decorations starting to go up and the work that people are doing down there and the businesses that are down there. It really is a great time to be part of downtown Marion. And as I've said the last few days, we were holding off to make an announcement in regard to something. Well, now you know it has to do with downtown Marion. We will make that announcement here very shortly, but there are a lot of holiday activities coming up on November the 25th and throughout the month of December. So we wanted to check in with Cheryl Wickersham from downtown Marion, get caught up on all of those, and then we will tell you our part in this whole thing, which we are all very excited about here at the station. Cheryl, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you? Okay.
Doing very well. Good to speak with you. The holidays are almost upon us.
Yes, they are. It's coming too soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I have seen the work that's being done in downtown Marion. Give people who haven't seen the work being done a little idea of what's going on down there.
Sure. We have, this week, we're busy adding string lights on the light post and greenery in the flower baskets that are on the post, wreaths on the structures in Founders Park, and Day Spring Wesleyan Church will be adding the Christmas trees here sometime soon. So we're beginning to look festive. The storefronts, a lot of business owners have decorated their storefronts for Christmas, and we plan on having a contest with posting the pictures on Facebook for the public to vote.
It's absolutely tremendous. And the things that have been going on in Founders Park the last few years during the holiday season have really caught on, have they not?
Yes, they have. Last year was a huge success. It was the first year that we had done the lighted truck parade, and although it was small and short, it was fabulous, and a lot of people there. We estimate there were about 3,000 people downtown for the parade and tree lighting.
You know, 3,000.
This year to be bigger.
Yeah, and 3,000 people is a great number, and I bet it does top that this year. Because, you know, it's a great day to do it because the Ohio State Buckeye game, Michigan game, is in the afternoon, and when that's over, everybody can come to downtown Marion and celebrate the holidays.
Yes, we've told everyone, cheer on the Bucks and then light your trucks.
Yeah. Hey, I like that. That's a good saying. I like that. For people who have not made it to the truck parade, tell people when it starts, can they still get involved, and exactly what it is.
Yes, you can still enter by going to either Downtown Marion's Facebook page or downtownmarion.com and register. Entries are $20, and the parade starts at 6 p.m. with lineup beginning at 4:30 at the intersection of Greenwood and Center Street. We'll use the parking lots along that corner and get people lined up and have a great parade.
And, you know, last year I saw this, and the lights on the truck, the things that people do, boy, it really almost is a work of art, some of these trucks.
Yes, and some people started right after the parade last year to plan for this year, so we're expecting it to be bigger and better.
Absolutely. And we should mention that the last truck in the parade houses somebody very special.
Yes, it does, and actually it's not on a truck. He's in a, not sure if it's going to be a sleigh or a carriage,
oh,
but Santa will be in a horse-drawn vehicle.
Well, that is very, that's great. But kind of ringing in the season itself.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, before we get to the tree lighting portion of this, what are some of the other things that go on in downtown Marion during the holiday season?
Sure. On the 25th, during the day, from 9 to 5, we'll be having our first annual Christmas market at the Brickyard on Main. There'll be vendors set up there with crafts, clothing, candies, toys, art, baked goods. So we're looking forward to that and hope that we have a great turnout and that people come, shop local, and then stay for the parade and the tree lighting. On Saturday, December 2nd, the Grinch will be in Founders Park for people to take pictures. And then on the 9th, we have our annual Secret Santa Shop at the Union, where children 8 years and younger can be registered to go in and purchase gifts for their families. They'll each have a one-on-one time with an elf to help them shop and wrap the gifts. The gifts will be priced between $1 and $10. Each child has a 20-minute time slot, and you can register by going, again, to the Facebook page or downtownmarion.com. Mm. And then also on the 9th is the 9th and the 16th, Santa House will be in Founders Park. Santa will be in a little house on the corner of the park, and kids can come and sit on Santa's lap, tell them what they want for Christmas, and get a small gift.
You know,
and then our biggest event is also on the 9th with our date night and auction. It's our largest fundraiser of the year, and we'll have this year we're doing something different with the silent auction. We'll be online, so people that are unable to attend could still purchase items online from the silent auction. I don't have details yet. We're still gathering the items. So once we have those, we will be sure to post what is available and the link for the auction.
You know, it sounds just great, because when you go downtown to do any of these events during the holiday season, you have the trees lit, Founders Park is lit up, you have the snowflakes downtown. It really is a great place to be during the holiday season.
Yes, it is.
It's tremendous. Now, Cheryl, last year we had the tree lighting ceremony, and there were 3,000 people who attended. We think we're going to beat that this year. I'm positive that we are. That happens on the 25th at 7 p.m. following the truck parade. Now, Santa Claus will be a part of this. Now, last year, the tree was lit, and it was great, and people enjoyed it. But a little change this year to what there actually will be a ceremony that should be a lot of fun.
Yes, it should. It will start with, I believe, you making some introductions, and Andrea Mullins from Shovel City Drinkery, who is president of the board for Downtown Marion, Inc., will say a few words, and then, I don't know, do you want, Scott, to tell the rest?
Yeah, I'll fill it in here. I will be down there. I will make an introduction welcoming people to Founders Park. As Cheryl said, Andrea will fill people in on what's going on in downtown Marion and say a few words. And then we will have people from the station here. I believe it's going to be Matt and Carrington, our elves, who will be dressed up as elves that day. They will lead the crowd in, I believe, the singing of Jingle Bells at this point. And then, at this point, 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, will be there to light the Christmas tree along with the rest of us. The tree will be lit, and then we will all end with a big sing-along in Founders Park. And boy, that just sounds like a lot of fun.
Yes, it does.
And I think it will give the tree lighting something nice, a nice little ceremony, like Christmas in Washington, Rockefeller Center. And I think, Marion, the home of a president, you know, we should have something like that as well.
Absolutely. I don't think there are many cities in the country that can boast that they have a U.S. president, a U.S. treasurer, and a Miss America all from their town.
You know, I think we are the only one. I don't think
I don't think so.
Yeah, there are only 46 that can say they have presidents, so I definitely think we're the only one. And to have Mary Ellen there, and to have Matt and Carrington, and the downtown Marion people there, and to know that there's going to be better than 3,000 people down there on the 25th, we're all excited. We're so glad that we were able to come together on this. And Cheryl, I'm just looking forward to it. I know everybody else is here. And boy, let the holidays begin next weekend.
That's right. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Have a good Thanksgiving, and we will touch base before the 25th.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Bye-bye.
Yep, bye-bye.
Well, there you go. The cat is out of the bag. coming up, this is the announcement I've been talking about all week. Wasn't sure if we were going to make it or not. We had talked. We had not been quite sure if this was going to happen or not. But as of last night, let's see if I can get my microphone working properly here. As of last night, we can safely say for sure that WGH Talk will be lighting the Christmas tree. As my mic goes, you know, this is perfect. My mic starts to do funny things just as I'm making the announcement. The 25th of November, we will be in downtown Marion at 7 p.m. Cheryl said the crowd last year was 3,000 people for this. We have been chosen to light the Christmas tree in Marion this year in Founders Park. Matt Carrington will be dressed as elves, singing, leading more than 3,000 people in this, and that's a big number of people in downtown Marion. I'll be reading "'Twas the Night Before Christmas." Mary Ellen Withrow will be there to flip the switch, and I think how it's going to go is we'll all say Merry Christmas, then the tree will light, and then we will all sing together. It's going to be a magical moment you will not want to miss, and Matt Morgan has now joined us in the studio. I don't know if he's been listening. Man, we've had news right off the bat today. We had Buckeye Guy on giving us the prediction for the game tomorrow. We've now made our big announcement we've been holding off on this week. So Matt joins us in studio, and we're going to find the mic he is on here, which I believe is mic number 4. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. How you doing, Scott?
Doing well. Were you listening on the way in?
I was, yeah.
Man, let's just start off the bat here. Let's go to Buckeye Guy. What do you make of the Minnesota prediction and his feelings on Michigan?
I do believe you said 35-3, right?
35-3 tomorrow, yeah. And it's a must-win.
I think against Michigan. I think the game again. I think both of the games against both Minnesota and Michigan are must-wins for Ryan Day. He's had some sketchy first halves this year, even though they always come back in the second quarter and play well. You can't play poorly for the first half of every game. That's how you don't make the championships.
So you think he might be out on his can if he does not win this year, even though this sign-stealing scandal is hanging over kind of the Michigan. Now, yesterday it said something to me that Harbaugh dropped. He just said, I'm going to take the suspension.
I mean, I don't know what else he would have done.
Well, their lawyers were duking it out.
I know when it first happened, he said that he didn't know anything about it.
He did. Now, he hasn't changed that story. He just said, I'm not going to fight it anymore. We only got 2 games left, right?
I mean, I guess.
That's what I understand.
But I think if Ryan Day and the Buckeyes lose against Michigan this year, Michigan especially, I think Ryan Day is going to be fired.
Now, I don't want anybody coming at me for this, but I don't think Ohio State will be favored in that game. And it is in Ann Arbor. I mean, there's a really, really, really good chance they could lose.
Michigan is also undefeated this year, are they not?
That's what I'm saying. I don't think that Ohio State will be favored. I don't think we've seen the point spread yet. But I don't think they'll be favored because they have lost 2 years in a row. Both teams are undefeated. And it's in Ann Arbor. I would have to say that you would have to favor Ohio State in that game, or Michigan in that game, wouldn't you?
I mean, I think that everybody in Michigan would say so, but I think that the majority of the people in Ohio are still saying no.
I mean,
Ohio State, you got to give Ohio State.
But like when we get the Fox Sports spread next week, which gave us over 50 tomorrow for Ohio State against Minnesota, I think this might be the only game this season that Ohio State will not be favored to win.
I don't know. They might give Ohio State some leeway based on the sign-stealing thing, even though that hasn't been proven nor disproven yet. So they might, you know, give some credit.
Well, I think tomorrow is where they're going to base their predictions. Because if either of the teams lose tomorrow, that's going to be the underdog. And how bad are they going to win tomorrow? Because I'm not sure who Michigan plays, but I don't think it's a tough team. So if they don't beat their team royally, or Ohio State does not handle Michigan or Minnesota royally, I think they'll be considered the underdog.
I haven't watched any Michigan games this year, but would you by chance happen to know how well they're playing in the first half?
I think they are doing very well. I know their point spreads have been larger than Ohio State in wins. And last week they played Purdue, was it? Or Penn State? Penn State last week.
I think it was Penn State.
Penn State, and they did very well, and that was kind of a kink in their armor, finding out 24 hours earlier that their coach was not going to be on the sideline, and yet they still went in and pretty well beat up on Penn State.
I think it'll be interesting if Michigan does end up winning, because then there's... I don't know if you can still say that they were stealing. I mean, maybe for like the second year or something, if it gets proven. But if Michigan goes out and beats Ohio State for a third year in a row, I think that you can't put all the blame on the fact that they stole the signs.
You know, I don't know. What do you make of Buckeye Guy's official WGH prediction? 35-3 Ohio State.
I think he probably gave.
Lowballed it next to Fox Sports.
I mean, I guess he goes and watches the games. I don't know.
Maybe. They haven't been good in the second half. Even last week against Michigan State, only scored three.
In the second half?
In the second half.
Usually it's the opposite. Usually they're poor in the first half.
Well, I think when they are losing in the first half, or it's a very close score, then in the second half they realize they got to pick it up. They didn't have to do that last week because they scored heavy in the first half. So I think it was like they fell asleep in the second half. They won the game handily against Michigan State, but only scored three in the entire second half.
They were probably just not trying to... They were just probably trying to make sure that nobody gets hurt or anything like that because they already had the game in hand.
Now, we're going to talk more about this in the 10 o'clock hour this morning because we've only got 8 minutes left here, but we just had the big earth-shattering announcement. I know you're excited because we've been talking about Christmas in Caledonia, but now, not even 2 weeks away at this point, we're talking 10 days here away. We might as well cancel Thanksgiving because we've got big things coming up on the 25th. If you didn't hear it, you and Carrington are going to have the elf costumes on, and we've got them here. And Mary Ellen Withrow is going to be down there with us, and we are going to host. Really, I think it's the first tree lighting ceremony in the history of Marion. I know they have lit the tree down there before, but I think this is the first ceremony. It's been given to us to do. I will be doing the announcing. We're going to have Andrea Mullins down there from downtown Marion, who's going to fill us in on what's going on in downtown Marion. But then I'm going to sing "Twas the Night Before Christmas." You and Carrington are going to lead more than 3,000 people expected next weekend in Founders Park in a sing-along. And then Mary Ellen's going to say, "Merry Christmas." We're going to light that tree. Well, all of us will say "Merry Christmas." We're going to light that tree. And then we'll all... And we did a little practice with this the other night, Mary Ellen, you and I, and Carrington, sang. But we're going to be doing that in front of more than 3,000 people on the 25th at 7 p.m. when that truck parade is over. Man, are you excited?
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like a pretty big event. It's going to be lots of people.
Now, are you nervous? Because we've talked about 1,000 people, but we're talking more than 3,000 people now.
I mean, yeah, you know, I wouldn't say, like, too nervous, but I don't like to sing in front of people, but there's going to be, you know, a lot of people there probably also singing, so we're cool.
I hope our song will be basic enough that we will have a lot of people singing along, will know the lyrics.
I think so. I think both of the... I don't even listen to Christmas music 90% of the time, and I know both of those songs. So
is that not a big announcement?
I think so. Now we got two events.
We got two big events, and we got the fruitcake toss coming up.
And the fruitcake toss.
Which, by the way, we've only been taking nominations for 4 days this week, and we're already up to 20. As of yesterday, we've got Ted, Adam, Dr. Davis, Commissioner Murray, Commissioner Appafeller, Sarah, Chip, Mr. Neal, Carrington, Matt, myself, Judy Summers, Glenn Tobel, Lee, Glenn Jerome, Tyler Wilson, Bill Collins, Mary Ellen Withrow, Mayor Kellogg, and our youngest competitor, 10-year-old Fruitcake Lily.
10 years old.
This is her third year.
Man.
Nice. They come young and old, male and female, out for the fruitcake toss on December 14th at 7 p.m. Let the holidays begin.
I'm excited.
Now, who would have thought we would have been lighting the tree for Marion?
I didn't even know if Marion had a tree lighting ceremony either, so...
Well, I don't think they've ever had a ceremony. They've had a tree lighting. People have come over after the parade, and they light the tree. This year, it's going to be very ceremonial.
Well, I think it'll add to the festivities, then.
Oh, I think it's going to be big.
I think so.
I'm looking forward to it. I think it could not be more fun. I know I talked to you in Carrington Wednesday night, and you both seem a little apprehensive. And now that we've added this, more than 3,000 people in downtown Marion, I think it's going to be more apprehension.
Plus
the fact this is not December the 9th. This is November the 25th. This is 2 days after Thanksgiving.
I wouldn't say that I'm any more nervous than I am for, like, Caledonia than I am for Marion.
Yeah, but can you imagine looking out into Founders Park there? That place is going to be packed. It's going to be, I mean, they're not selling tickets, but you would say it's going to be SOL there in Founders Park.
It's just more about the, you know, singing in front of people. But that, I mean, like I said, I think there will be lots of people singing along with me, so it'll be okay.
You know, I don't think, now I could be wrong on this, the concerts that go on during the Popcorn Festival, I doubt that they draw 3,000 people. The concerts. Now, the festival draws more over 3 days, but the concerts, I don't think it's 3,000 people down there. So you'll be singing this year in front of more people than Colin Ray did down there.
I don't know who Colin Ray is.
Well, he was the country singer this year who was down there.
Oh, okay, okay.
So does that give you pause that you will be the most viewed singing act in Marion this year in downtown?
Not really.
I was so nice that they asked us to do this. I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
I'd say probably around 3,000 people came out for Pop Evil.
Really? You think 3,000? Were you down there?
I was.
You think 3,000?
I mean, Pop Evil is still a very popular band, and not to, like, diss on the Popcorn Festival. It's always fun and everything, but the bands that they put at the Popcorn Festival are sometimes just a little older. I assume because it's cheaper to book those bands. But then they got Pop Evil.
Well, there you go. By the way, if you have something to say, you can say it now. We got about 2.5 minutes left here. 740-383-9944. We are in the studio today. How are we sounding, by the way?
You're sounding good.
Good, good. You could hear me. You could hear Buckeye Guy and Cheryl, and none of us sounded like we were talking in a tunnel.
Nope, you sounded good.
That's all you need. If you want to call in, big announcement has been made, earth-shattering as far as I'm concerned, that we will be lighting the Christmas tree this year in the first big ceremony to happen in downtown Marion for tree lighting. I following this truck parade, you know there's going to be a lot of people.
So
and
what,
Santa.
What is up with the truck parade, by the way?
That's a big deal.
I didn't really get it.
They decorate the trucks with lights. It's really something to see.
Interesting.
And see, you have to get there early.
You know,
have you worked on this? I know what we're talking about here, but have you worked on this? We talked about it yesterday.
No, I was. That's what I was actually doing on my phone like 5 seconds ago. I was trying to send out a message.
Yeah, I think you're just gonna have to go to the top on this one and say, "Listen." there's a big crowd there. I'm gonna have to, I'm gonna have to get sick about 6 o'clock that night, something like that. I'm sure they can work it out.
I would assume so. Yeah.
Well, for something like this, it's not. I mean, watch it. It's not like you're going home to play video games or something.
Yeah.
All I know, it's going to be huge. We're also going to take fruitcake toss nominations as the morning goes along. Do you have a fruitcake toss nomination?
Oh, I do, yes. I would like to nominate Pastor Craig for the fruitcake toss.
Pastor Craig, number 21 in the fruitcake toss. All right. You know, Pastor Craig brought good food the last time he was in the fruitcake toss too. Oh, he brought a deli platter and cheese tray. Man, nothing said Christmas like that. That was good. And we're also talking about we'll have to talk about this in the 10 o'clock hour because we're about out of time here. But we thought about changing Carrington's name to Fruity C, the Fruitcake Elf, and make her the official mascot of the Fruitcake Toss. I'm sure she'll like that, won't she?
I don't, you know.
Listen, she owes me after yesterday, and I'll explain to everybody why that is at 10 o'clock this morning. Pastor Whitaker coming up in 15 minutes.
Listen to former star of the Jeffersons in 227, Marla Gibbs.
Where did the name Marla come from? It's so unique.
I made it up.
Really?
My name is Margaret, and I thought that was too much. Margaret